Well, we're all familiar with these special units. One is called the Delta Force. Another is called the Navy SEALs. And I think we all have a good deal of respect for the individuals who volunteer for those duties, who go through the rigorous training and some of the difficulties that they have to go through in order to be able just to qualify. And then some of the things they do, like killing bin Laden, rescuing Captain Phillips, if you saw that movie that was based upon these special forces that go in and do very special things with special skills and talents and incredible abilities. Today I want to talk about Israel's special forces team under King David. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. King David had some various special forces in his army. And some of them were very special forces, kind of like the Delta Force or the SEAL Team 6, for example, that we have in this country, the Mossad and some others. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, some really interesting stories from the New Living Translation. It said, now these are the names of David's mightiest warriors. So I think you could put them in the class of special forces. I mean, really tough guys. First was Jashobeam, the Hakamite, who was the leader of the three, as some translations put it. The New King James says, the leader, three mighty men, they're called. Three mightiest warriors among David's men. He once used his spear, this Jashobeam, he once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. Other translation and, well, another version in Chronicles says 300, but still, here you've got one guy that kills 300 to 800 men in one battle. Now, if you've watched some movies about some ancient battles with swords and that type of thing, what's his name in Scotland? Braveheart, yeah. You watch Braveheart, you see some of these really tough guys, you know, and they're out there wielding their swords and spears, and they're just... they don't seem to get killed, and they last through all of these battles where people all around them are dying. So here's one guy, and he's the first guy. 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 says, next in rank among the three was Eleazar, son of Dodai. And it tells his story. It says, once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army had fled. He killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword, and the Lord gave him great victory that day. The rest of the army didn't return till it was time to collect the plunder. Now, we'll get to that one in a minute. But let's go to the third guy, verse 11. Next in rank was Shema, son of Agi from Texas. No, he's not. Not really. He was from Harar. Okay. So, son of an Agi. One time the Philistines gathered at Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field of lentils. The Israelite army fled, but the Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. So here we find three really special forces, tough guys, that essentially won entire battles, single-handedly, virtually. But I want to focus on the second guy, Eleazar. And I want to discuss him and draw a number of lessons that I think we can learn in our battle. You know, God calls the first fruits essentially the special forces team, the ones that are chosen first to go ahead of the rest, and then the rest of God's plan will come along. So, we're kind of like special forces. I don't think any of us feel we're as tough physically, even as tough spiritually as we'd like to be, but yet we do have a task to do. And I think studying Eliezer a little bit will help us work towards the end of preaching the gospel to the world and becoming a part of God's family. 2 Samuel 23, verse 9. Let's look at that. It says, next in rank among the three was Eliezer, son of Dodai. Once Eliezer and David stood against the Philistines. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, if you want to go back and refer to that later, or if you have a Bible instead of a cell phone or something, you can flip back and forth. But 1 Chronicles chapter 11 tells the story also, and it adds a few things. So it says, Eliezer and David stood against the Philistines, and 1 Chronicles 11:13 adds, he was with David in battle against the Philistines at Pasdamim. It gives a specific location that this battle took place. Pasdamim was the name means the Dell of Bloodshed. And it's the same location that David challenged Goliath and beat Goliath. So the Philistines were coming against the Israelites, and they were basically going to be defeated, except here comes David, and essentially single-handedly defeats the Philistine army by killing Goliath. Now, it's a story of and by itself. But something that I think is interesting here is that David is facing the Philistine army again at the same location that he once helped defeat the Philistine army. Does that sound like us sometime? Is that we get into a battle, and with God's help, and with God's Spirit, we use the resources He gives us, and we win that battle. And we come out and say, God really helped me with this. He helped me overcome this problem. He helped me to move forward in the face of adversity. And you think, I got that one. You know, I used to be this way, and now I overcame, and I've got God's Spirit is in me, and I'm doing really good now. And later on, the same problem comes back. The same enemy with the same problem, and we get to think, I thought I'd overcome that. I thought I'd beat the enemy with this one. Or we say, why is this happening to me again? I thought I passed that test. I thought I made it. Does that ever happen to you? Happens to me. But Satan will oftentimes attack us at the same place that he tried to attack us and beat us before. Satan is a formidable enemy and will not give up. We need to also be formidable in fighting him off. 2 Samuel 23, going on, it says that David and Eliezer stood against the Philistines when the entire Israel army had fled. So you look at this battle, and they're going against the Philistines, and there's such a formidable force coming against them that the Israelite army threw down their swords or put their swords in their sheaths and ran the other direction, retreating. And only Eliezer and David were left. Here, in a battle for his life, Eliezer's fellow soldiers left him and fled. Left him on his own. Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever felt like, nobody's on my side? I'm fighting this battle all by myself. My friends have deserted me. They didn't call me when I needed help, or they didn't see that I needed some assistance, or some just plain left you altogether. It's a helpless feeling. It makes you want to give up when those around you are not there supporting you. 1995, many of our fellow members and ministers that were seemed to be on the line fighting the battle for the kingdom of God just dropped their swords and ran. left you, and many of your friends, many of your relatives, minister you respected, kind of left you there on your own, in a way. Maybe a mate leaves you. The friendship wanes. It happens. But notice, 2 Samuel 23, verse 9, continuing, going back a little, it says, David and Eliezer stood together against the Philistines. So he wasn't really on his own, because he and David were there fighting. The rest of the army had fled. And there was a formidable army coming against them, and they stood their ground. 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 14, the counterpart to this, says that Eliezer and David held their ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines. So there was a field of barley that they were defending. You know, David in the Bible is a type of Christ in many aspects. You know, some of the Psalms that we read are things that Christ himself said when he was abandoned by his by everybody. But as David is a type of Christ, and you see Eliezer fighting the battle, and he felt alone because people had abandoned him, David stood by him. And as a type of Christ, that's where we are. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Keep your place in Samuel, because that's where we'll be out of. But Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. God says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." The rest of the army had fled. David, a type of Christ, did not leave Eliezer. Hebrews chapter 13 in the Amplified Version is, I think, very telling. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 in the Amplified Version, it expands on this. The Amplified Version is pretty good at doing that very often. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have." Okay, sometimes we look around us and say, "Well, I don't have that. You know, this person has good things, or they go places and do things, and I don't get that opportunity, or they have a happy marriage and I don't." And we get to looking around us and, you know, doing the coveting thing, if you will. But it says, "Be satisfied with your present circumstances, what you have, for God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up or leave you without support." The Greek here in the original actually says it this way, continuing. It says, "I will not. I will not. I will not in any way or degree leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you." It's the original says it three times. I will not. I will not. I will not forsake you or give you up. I won't leave you. And when we attach ourselves to Christ, it said he will not relax his hold on us. When he reached out to you and called you to make you a part of his family. Now, we'll get back to this where it says, "I will not relax my hold on you." Remember that he holds on to you. He's not going to forsake you. Verse 6 in Hebrews says, "For we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?" So Eliezer was out there with his companion David, and he knew David would not forsake him, even though it looked really, really grim. And I don't think you can say anything else. that that's the way it was. So back to 2 Samuel chapter 23. So when we think we're abandoned, we think there's no hope, God will not let go of you. Only you can let go of him. 2 Samuel 23, verse 10. Eleazar killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword. Now, Jacobim did kill his guys with a spear. Here, Eleazar, his weapon was a sword. Now, in order to win this battle, he had to know his weapon. He had to know how to use it. He had undoubtedly, he maybe even made his own weapon, forged it out himself of materials that had come from other areas, because the Israelites were not known for making that great of weapons. But he maybe forged out his own sword. He sharpened it. He practiced with it. He had gone through many different battles before and had used it and used it well. The SEALs and the Delta team are known for their special weapons. I guess there are weapons that they use that people don't even know about, but they're more than just the general government-issued weapons. But they have to get extremely good with it. They have to know how to use it. They've got to, you know, blindfolded, take them apart and put them back together and keep them oiled and in order to be able to make them useful. Eleazar knew how to use his sword defensively, because in a sword fight, people are going to be attacking you. You've got to be able to defend the blows. He knew how to use it offensively, to go after it when you need to go after it, and you're doing the pursuing. And that's the way it is with us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 tells us to take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, 17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How well do we know and trust our weapon? Can we do it blindfolded? Can we read it? Do we understand it? Do we sharpen ourselves with it? Do we use it offensively and defensively when we need to? Do we trust that weapon? Do we trust that what's written in the Word of God gives us answers to the problems, answers to the battles, answers to the things that happen to us? It does give the principles of every situation in life. When we were called, we had to study the Word of God. You know, you're told, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. You know, use the Word of God to guide your life. And that's why you began keeping the Sabbath, because you think, well, the Word of God says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Word of God gives you the truth about eternal life, life after death. It gives us the answer to all the problems. The Bible provides answers to small circumstances and the biggest issues. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. If we're going to be a part of the kingdom, if we're going to help God win the battle, then we've got to be diligent, just as Eleazar had to be diligent in his use of his sword, and not to fail, not to throw down the sword and to give it up like the Israelites, the rest of the Israelite army did. And it says, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The pain and trials you go through, the Word of God cuts down to the answer. The challenges that society gives, the Word of God cuts to the chase and gives us the answer of how to deal with these things. But we have to use it. Offensively, when Satan attacks us with discouragement, and you know he does. You know, things come up in life where it would tend, Satan would want to make us give up and turn our backs. What scriptures come to mind? You know, you may not be able to even quote them with chapter and verse, but say, get behind me, Satan. You go on the attack. You don't let that discouragement get to you. You have to go out and go on the attack. God will not try me beyond what I can endure. Yeah, this is tough. This is hard. But God says that he won't try me beyond what I can handle. I can't handle this, otherwise I wouldn't be having it. All things work together for good to those that love him and keep his commandments. This is tough. I don't see how this is going to turn out well. Eliezer must have felt that. I do not see how this is going to turn out well when the rest of my army is gone. It's just me and David standing there. This has got to turn out bad. But it didn't, because God was with him. What things come to your mind when you're attacked in one way or the other? You got your favorite scriptures that you think of and that come to your mind, and then you use that to fight what Satan is throwing at you. Anybody think of one right now that you use fairly often? Yeah.
Stand still and know that I am God.
Stand still and know that I am God. Oh, I want to flee. I don't want to stand here and take this. Or, okay, I'll stand in my place and know that God is God. And you can use those. Yeah, Helen?
God before me, who can be against me?
God before me, who can be against me? See, these things come to mind. It's because you know your sword, right? And if you don't study it, you don't know it. Yeah, go ahead.
The sufferings of this world are nothing compared to the glory.
The sufferings that we go through now are nothing to be compared with the gift of eternal life that God is going to give to us. Yeah, these things come to mind, and they encourage, they support you, and you go on attack against it. You don't sit there and take it. You don't let Satan get you down or discouraged. So you use the Word of God offensively, and sometimes you use it defensively, don't you? We're told, be always ready to give an answer to the hope that lies within you. And somebody comes on the attack against you, when you get home from the feast, and say, well, you know, your kids were out of school too long, we're going to flunk them. Or you lost your job because you took off for the feast. And they're attacking you. Now, you can't go back on the offensive and attack them and say, well, you're so-and-so, and, you know, start doing that type of thing. But you say, well, my Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It talks about these days that he says that we should keep, and I go and I keep them. You give an explanation. You're giving an offense or defensive move against an offense, but you use the Word of God to say why you're doing what you do. Jesus went up to the feast to keep the feast, and that's what we do. Okay, and it's not condemning them. It's not attacking them, but it's making a defensive move using the Word of God for that. God says we ought to obey God rather than man. If I guess I have to lose my job, I do, but I'd rather just be a good employee. And, you know, so use the Word of God, because it's sufficient for every battle and every move that Satan would make against us. 2 Samuel 23, verse 10. It says, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. Like the Israeli army, many in the church have dropped their sword, tucked it in their sheath, and ran away. Ran away from the battle because, I'm too tired to fight this great army. I'm afraid to fight this army that's coming against us. Many of you have been fighting this battle for many, many years. And indeed, it becomes a battle in many different ways. And we get tired. We want to lay down, we want to quit, we want to throw it in and say, well, this is not working for me. Well, he fought until his hand was weary, and guaranteed, we're going to get tired at times. We're going to feel like it's too much, and I can't handle it anymore. I can't take one more step forward. I can't stand another minute. No. David in Psalm 69 verse 3, he says, I'm weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. And that's sometimes the place we get, admittedly. Verse 4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me. I don't think that was taken from this battle, but well, could have been. Because you know, Eliezer and David were both weary, throats dry. You don't have time to sit down and have a beer, to relax when you're in this battle against, 800 men or whatever it is. You gotta keep going. Your throat's dry. Your eyes fail. I'm crying too much. I got dust in my eyes. This is too tough. Those that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Look at the battle, it's too much. But it's not. Galatians 6 verse 9, New Century Version says, we must not be weary of well-doing. Eliezer's hand was weary holding his sword. And yes, we're tired, but don't be weary of well-doing. Then it says in Galatians 6 verse 9, we will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time if we do not give up. Now, said from 1 Chronicles 11 verse 14, it says, they stopped in the middle of the field of barley and fought for it and killed the Philistines. So they were in this field of barley, maybe ready for harvest, and I'm sure a lot of the barley got trampled in this battle, but they stood and fought for the harvest. They stood their ground and fought for this field. We need to stand our ground because there's going to be a harvest of eternal life if we stand our ground and do our part and are helping God fulfill His purpose for mankind on earth. And there's a great harvest coming as a result of the fight that we're in. 2 Samuel 23 verse 10 continuing. It says, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The King James Version says, his hand clave unto the sword. Now this Hebrew word clave has a couple of meanings, but it means pursuing or clinging to or grasping. We want to hold on to the kingdom of God. We want to grasp for the kingdom of God. The second is welding or soldering. So his hand was soldered to the sword. You imagine all day that you can't let go. He's got a death grip on the sword. He's fighting so long and even peel his fingers off from it. He probably had to at the end of this battle. And that's what we must do. We've got to cling to the Word of God. We've got to cling to God's purpose for us. We can't let go. We've got to make it a part of us. We've got to be welded to it so that nobody's going to take it out of our hands. Back years ago, somebody tried to take that Word of God out of your hand. When it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, well, it doesn't really mean that. Trust the Lord your God. Well, God's really a Trinity, and all kinds of things that they threw at you, and you held on to the Word of God. And you went on the defensive and offensive both to hold on, to grasp on to the Word, to pursue it. The Word of God should define you. You don't know where the hand ends and the word begins because you're living by it. Joshua chapter 22 verse 5. We're in the study of the Ten Commandments in the youth lessons. But Joshua 22 verse 5 says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law. You got to do it. You got to use that sword, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, and love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways to keep his commandments and cleave unto them. You know, you got your mind, your heart, and your soul wrapped around the Word of God. And it is just as much a part of you, and people identify you by the Word of God. And serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, no matter what anyone else does. Sometimes we like to hold up and say, but that person did this to me. Or they didn't do as good a job as I did. Or here I've been fighting this battle and they've gone away and they come sauntering back into the church as though nothing ever happened. I mean, you know, people, we get those bad things that happen. 2 Samuel 23, the last part of verse 10, it says, the rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. Okay, so they fled. They left David and Eliezer there fighting the battle. And then they looked out from over the hill and they said, oh, well, I guess we won. Yeah, we won, guys. You know, they come back and say, yeah, you know, look at this guy. He's got a great sheath for his sword, and I'm going to take that off from him. And he's got some gold in his pocket. And I'm going to get that. And they came down getting the plunder. Now, it doesn't say that Eliezer and David told them to where they could go, you know, or what they could do with themselves. But they apparently allowed him to take the plunder, even though they were the ones that were faithful. You know, there are people who go away and come back. Our job is to love, to forgive, not judge. Just rejoice that they're back, that they're where they need to be. 2 Samuel 23:10, the last part says, middle part says, the Lord gave him a great victory that day. 1 Chronicles 11 version in verse 14 says, so the Lord saved them by giving them a great victory. Eliezer and David fought hard. They'd practiced, they'd used their weapons well. But the Lord won the battle. And that's the same way it is with us. Is that we need to fight hard. We need to know our weapon. We need to use it. We need to live by it. But it's God that's going to give us the glory in the battle and the victory. It's not as a result of our great knowledge of Scripture, and we know Scripture so well, and you know we know all these things, and so God's got to use me to do his plan. Now, we use the Word of God, but we thank God for his mercy that allows us to win the battle. Eliezer trained himself with his sword. He used it expertly. He clung to it. But it was God's power that enabled him and David to win the battle. The word Eliezer means God is my helper. And that's what we need to be, is people who use God as our helper. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So always rely on the help, the strength, the grace, and the mercy of God. And we will win the battle, just like Eliezer and David won their battle. God's word is sufficient for every situation that you and I will face in life, in principle. But we need to know the word of God. We need to have confidence in it and be familiar with it and use it properly. Fight the good fight, brethren. Hold on to and use the Word of God so God can give us the grace and mercy of eternal life.